This is from Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 11 to 14, more or less 600 years before Jesus this was written. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, 'Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off.' Therefore prophesy and say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord." Sounds nice. Sounds uplifting. Vaguely, if you're paying attention, sounds incredible. But I have some bad news for all of us here today. You and I are in danger, friends. We're in danger in many ways, so I'm just going to talk about two dangers. Danger number one, deception. You are in danger of one of the biggest, boldest, deadliest lies ever swallowed by human beings. Think about all this stuff we've been singing about today, all the stuff we talk about at church, the things described in the Bible, the teachings of Jesus, the cross of Jesus, the holiness of God, the need for faith and repentance, the existence of angels and demons, of places like heaven and hell. So I wonder, I just read those things. I wonder, are those the kinds of things that kind of like get your interests? Or make your eyes kind of glaze over? Really, it doesn't matter when it comes to this deception. You may find it interesting, the stuff we talk about at church, the stuff in the Bible. You may find it very boring and you've heard it all your life and you're tired of it. It doesn't matter because there's one deception guaranteed that right now you're being pressured and maybe you're unwittingly being conditioned to live out by nearly every force at work in our world. Your TV shows, your news reporting, however you get that, your podcasts, your favorite band, your doctor, your therapist, your buddies, your coworkers, your public school teachers, your college professors, your iPhone, nearly everything and every person that you interact with is conditioning you or is being conditioned to believe one lie, one dangerous lie about God and the gospel. It's not really relevant. It's not relevant. It doesn't matter that much outside of these four walls. Today is more relevant than eternity. Your body is more relevant than whether or not you have a soul. Having fun is more relevant than knowing God. Your outward appearance is more relevant than your character. Your TikTok for you feed is more relevant than the Apostles' Creed. Whether diversity, equity, and inclusion are properly directed is more relevant than whether Christ actually rose from the dead. Your Amazon cart is more relevant than the cross. Your health is more relevant than forgiving your fellow Christian. Your romantic desires are more relevant than Jesus' teaching on marriage. Your career advancement is more relevant than your growth in holiness. Your finances are more relevant than your obedience. Your political party is more relevant than the glory of God. Your use of creation is more relevant than your worship of its creator. Your use of creation is more relevant than your worship of your creator. Now, I don't believe any of those things I just said. They're all lies. But they're lies that you and I are constantly bombarded by, and apart from the Spirit of Christ, willingly given to. And I think I just listed a fraction of the lies that are part of the big deception at work around us. And you and I are in danger, friends, of buying the deception. Thankfully, there's one thing you see in the mirror for sure every day that can point you to the relevance of God and His gospel every day. And it's actually danger number two. Danger number two is what makes the first danger such a danger. Because to neglect God and His gospel as irrelevant or as false is to neglect the only thing that can deal with danger number two. So if you're duped by danger number one, you're missing the only thing that can help you with danger number two. Danger number two is death. You and I are in danger of death. And I don't mean that there's a risk. I mean that this is reality. You and I are not just in danger of dying, we're in the process of dying. And ironically, the same forces that pressure you to forget God are very helpful in distracting us from that process. But we can't get away from it. Every day is full of reminders that you are dying. And I wonder if you've been getting some of the same reminders that I've been noticing. Eyebrow hairs. I never thought this was a thing. Big, long eyebrow hairs. They just like sprouted out overnight. What is that? Google. Yeah, as you get older, that's what happens, I guess. Waking up in the middle of the night with weird pains that remind me one day one of these pains will be part of the ailment that kills me. Take a long look in the mirror and notice the wrinkles, the grays, the discolored teeth, if your teeth are not already fake. You're aging. You're dying. You might find it harder to stay awake, some of you, than you used to. Because you're not just aging, you're dying. Some of you find it harder to sleep than you used to. You're not just aging, you're dying. One day, it might be soon or it might be in 70 years, but one day you'll go to sleep for the last time. And when you woke up this morning, by God's grace, you were one day closer to dying than you were yesterday. You're in danger of dying. Or you can think about it this way. Every single doctor who's ever practiced medicine in the history of the world, the mortality rate for their patients is 100%. All the doctor's patients in history died eventually. And some of them died suddenly. Construction workers on bridges in Baltimore died suddenly. 54-year-old man standing on the subway platform are pushed and they die suddenly. 5-year-old kids like Zion Yomoa, who was in our church in Philadelphia, suddenly manifest symptoms of a brain tumor and they're gone by the end of the year. You live your life not just in the danger of dying, but in the process of dying. Your heart has only got so many beats left in it. And if it's not cut short, eventually it'll just give out. You and I live in the very real, ever-present danger of dying. I once lived in a room for a little while with squirrels in the ceiling. And I had my desk by the wall, and I'd be working at my computer, listening to the scratching and the scrabbling just on the other side of that sheetrock. And I lived in constant low-level anxiety of one day the ceiling just collapsing in on me, and all the squirrels and squirrel nests and squirrel poop and squirrel babies, I don't know what was up there. I was sure it was just gonna one day fall on my head. But I was scared of something that it turns out wasn't gonna happen. It's hard to tell when all you hear is a noise, right? But the fear of death isn't that kind of misplaced fear. Even people whose town is built by a volcano, they live in danger of death by fire. But there's a chance. There's a chance. There's a hope. They're kind of banking on, maybe not in my lifetime. But that's not our situation when it comes to the danger of death. It's 100% certain for you and for me that the ceiling is going to fall, that the volcano is going to erupt, that the ground, the grave, death is going to open its mouth, and each one of us is going down into the blackness of the grave. I don't know how many of you know the Lord of the Rings story, but I think of us as we're kind of in a similar situation to the Fellowship of the Ring. Gandalf, the good leader wizard, and Aragorn and Boromir and Gimli the dwarf and Legolas the elf and these four hobbits, they're forced to travel through the abandoned, haunting caves of Moria. And they're hoping to just pass through these caves, which it is said the dwarves dug too greedily and too deep. What's down here? What monsters dwell here? And they don't want to know. They don't want to think about it. They just want to keep as silent as possible. And they hope to get out alive. Then they find this book, some kind of chronicle. And Gandalf, the leader, starts reading the historical records of this underground world. We cannot get out. We cannot get out. They have taken the bridge and the second hall. We cannot get out. The end comes. And then Gandalf reads, drums. Drums in the deep. I wonder what that means. The last thing is written in a trailing scrawl of elf letters, reads Gandalf. They are coming. There is nothing more. A sudden dread and horror of the chamber fell on the company. Back to the hall, answered Gandalf, but our visit has not been in vain. I now know where we are. Come now, back to the hall. Gandalf had hardly spoken these words when there came a great noise, a rolling boom that seemed to come from the depths far below, and a tremble in the stone at their feet. They sprang towards the door in alarm. Boom! Boom! It rolled again as if huge hands were turning the very caverns into a vast drum. Then there came an echoing blast. A great horn was blown in the hall, and answering horns and harsh cries were heard farther off. There was a hurrying sound of many feet. They are coming! The monsters are awake, and they are coming, and there is no doubt about it now. It's just a question of time. This is the situation that you and me find ourselves in, and find the person behind the cash register, and the lady doing her nails at the salon, your kids making you breakfast, I hope, in bed, movie stars, the coach of your soccer team, good-looking TikTok influencers with or without filters, drums in the deep. The grave is the last stop of a one-way journey. Therefore, doesn't scripture sound a little bit maybe more relevant? Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. See, the reason Simon Peter doubted that Jesus had raised from the dead, the reason the rest of the disciples doubted that Jesus had raised from the dead, the reason Thomas doubted is not because they didn't think that the announcement that a dead man had been raised to life, it's not that they didn't think it was relevant. It was profoundly relevant, because that's where they were headed. They just didn't think it was believable. They just didn't think it could be true. Not as true as what they were used to believing. You live, and then you die. The stuff of life is real. You know, good times with Jesus, we'll miss that. And the stuff of death is real. The horror of Good Friday, and they have PTSD, and they're hoping to forget that awful day. But they just, the resurrection, God bringing the dead out of a grave, they just didn't think it was believable. They just didn't think it could be true. But it was true. And so God gave them reasons to believe. And he's given you and me reasons to believe as well. To believe in the Bible that we have a record of God making a promise. Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves. And a record of God keeping the promise. Jesus stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Put your hand and place it into my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. The problem is not that the Bible is not relevant. The problem is we're not thinking straight. We've been suckered, we've been duped by the world, the devil, by our own sinfulness into thinking that God, that life without God, that life without Jesus is really life. But it's not. It's just a long, drawn-out death. It's not natural for you and me to die. It's the beginning of the judgment for sin. On the day that you eat of it, on the day that you sin, God told human beings, you will surely die. For the wages of sin is death. Every day we face the reminder that apart from Jesus, we're dead now spiritually. We're going to die one day physically and then be dead forever away from the presence of God. And so the message that the man who died for sins somehow overcame sin's curse and comes to you and me is profoundly relevant. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe, so that you may believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. John says he wrote these things as part of the evidence, to give you evidence to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior, the King, the Son of God, who came out of his grave. So if you see the evidence for it, do you see the relevance of it? Dying sinner. What else are you banking on? The drums are already rolling in the deep. It's just a matter of time. You and I are in danger, friends, but there's good news, and it's why we got up extra early today. Good news from a good God who turns dying sinners into living saints. And so we heard about two dangers. I'm just going to list three certainties, and then we're going to sing. One, you can be certain that the man he was... I'm sorry, we'll start again. You can be certain that the man who said he was the way to live forever came out of his grave. Two, you can be certain that if you believe in that man, the Son of God, Jesus, you'll come out of your grave too. Three, how can you be certain? You can be certain that you're destined for life with God then, if by faith you are living with God, for God, now. In Ezekiel, God said, I will put my spirit within them. You can be certain that if you have been brought to repenting of your sins and giving your life to Jesus who came out of his grave, then you can be certain that he's going to bring you out of your grave too. So I just leave you with these questions. Are you certain that you have life in Jesus' name? If not, what do you need to do to gain that certainty? That's a relevant question.